Hi everyone, Roxy here. I wanted to talk to you today about what happens when you come to the end of your character. As far as I'm aware, there's sort of three main routes that might happen. The first one, and probably the most common, is that your character dies a horribly vicious and violent death at the hands of your DM, or GM, whatever they prefer. Of course, this can happen a lot, and sometimes you get brought back by their wonderful benevolence, which is great, but sometimes they perish. I've never had this happen to a character yet, which is really, really nice. But I have had characters come very, very close to it. One of my first characters that I ever played, Serafina, unfortunately did get KO'd during one game, but luckily, due to some very, very kind game mastering on Chris's part, the party were allowed to bring her back via a fantastic vision of Serenray. And that was a lovely way for that character to continue being played. But it's not always that easy. The second most common avenue I think people would agree with me on is that the game dissolves. Whether that's because people fall outside of the game, whether people just stop playing, or the unfortunate and all too common effect of adults scheduling. It can be really, really hard to keep a game going for a really long period of time. I think the longest I've ever been in a game for is maybe 2 years max before burnout happened or we couldn't schedule things in and everything just kind of fell apart. And that to me, I think, is probably the saddest way to lose a character, because there can be ones that you just absolutely love playing, that you love the storylines and the games and worlds that are being built around that character, but unfortunately you don't really get to say goodbye to them. I had that happen with one of my characters called Tear, who was a rogue fighter that was also, I can't remember the class, but was kind of part cat. And I absolutely loved playing her. She was one of my favourite characters I've ever created before. But unfortunately, the game just fell apart. And that sometimes happens, and you have to sort of make your peace with it in a way that isn't as final as characters dying. The third way, and I've never done this yet, is you retire a character. They come to the end of their story, their motivation for staying with the party is no longer there, and they have other things, greater and different, that they want to pursue. And that's totally okay too. I was getting close to this position with one of my previous characters, Tear, as I mentioned, as she was starting to find that she had responsibilities at home that she couldn't be away from anymore, travelling and getting into danger with. She'd accidentally kind of been blackmailed into having two adopted orphans, so she suddenly was a parent and had to stay home for that. But I can't say which one is the better option out of the three: death, retirement, or dissolvement. I will say I'm really excited to see what happens with this game in particular. Are the characters going to stay together? Are they going to keep going? When will it be the end of all of our stories? They're all so unique and different and have different motivations for being all together in the group that I'm really excited to find out what happens next for every single one of them. Whether Emlyn finds out what's going on with their history, if Avina will reveal more about herself and therefore the party will get close to her, whether Amaranth will open up and learn that it's okay to have friends and they are not going to die on you, and of course, whether Lunamote will end up staying with the group or following a different path. Well, without further ado, maybe we'll find out this episode, and I hope you enjoy it. Welcome to episode 56, Definition of Destiny.
This week on Role Plus Pod, the party are still stuck in their ordeal against the strange creature of the university. When even Avina cannot roll high enough to work out what it is, can there be any hope remaining? And when the situation is already dire enough, stark and shocking revelations must be revealed.
I must confess, I always imagined it in a 2D plane rather than 3D.
No. This might surprise you, but the real world is three-dimensional. In times of great stress, the party turn on one another.
Wow, harsh.
No, as in I remember that happening. I wasn't being shady.
Sometimes accepting defeat is the only option remaining.
Can I choose to not play this anymore?
The players have learned to always look a gift horse in the mouth, but I'm feeling generous today.
That makes me nervous.
And at the end of the day, we all need that one friend who can try to lift the mood.
Come on, guys, don't get upset.
What has the party so distraught and looking for a way out? What leaves them miserable and bereft? How will they deal with this creature they've set themselves against? And just what is all that damn crying about? It's time to find out on Roll Plus Pod. Halloween is over. We can all move on.
No.
Spooky season.
No, it's gone. We are gearing up for Candlemas.
Don't you dare. Okay, that's fine.
I was gonna say, yeah, don't bring the potential C word into things there, dear.
we're preparing ourselves for whatever comes next. But I like how Halloween went. Halloween I thought was alright.
Yeah.
You know, classic monster movie.
I'm pretty
awakening.
Salty about it. To be honest.
Well, I wanted a bit of variety. Last year we had the whole, like, the George Romero zombie Night of the Living Dead type thing. This year we've gone for quite the classic Hammer horror monster movie style. Like, what's going to happen moving forward? Who knows?
Death.
Yeah. I mean, I hope you do.
No, not got a clue. Rolling dice for everything. It's really impressive how well a story's come together out of this, because no idea.
I love the idea of just you rolling a d20 and it's like a choose your own story kind of thing.
Yeah. Could you imagine? And I'm just there like, it's really shocking how well this has come together from random dice rolls. But last week, a couple of fairly important things happened. So you journeyed in, you were journeying into Leopardstadt proper. And on that journey, stopped partway around lunchtime, and Lunamote and Kendra had a really, really interesting conversation.
None
of the other characters really know about, but, you know, we'll see what happens. The players might be shook from it, but who knows? You arrived in Leopardstadt proper. You, the Crooked Kin have kind of set themselves up elsewhere in the city, kind of towards the northeastern, I can do directions, northeastern side of the city. And you decided that you would kind of, in order to relieve yourself of the burden that you have been carrying for quite a while now, you've headed to the university itself with Kendra to find Dr. Mantini Crowell, who is the person who you've been asked to deliver the books that Petros had left behind, with the exception of one book being the purple one, with the lock on it, that is going to be going to Judge Embrith Daramid, who you have not yet met. But on arriving to the university, Kendra completely changed in her demeanor, and you see this confident, self-assured air to her that you've never quite seen in the same way. She leads you confidently through to the kind of the archival and research part of the antiquities department, where you meet Dr. Mantini Crowell, who I feel like you're all best friends, just saying.
I hate him so goddamn much.
Like, I just got the vibe that you're all gonna, like, I feel like you're gonna invite him along with you. That's the vibe I'm getting.
Can we, please?
I will murder this man.
That's the fun of it.
But yes, you spoke with him briefly. He kind of confirmed that the purple book should be going to Judge Embrith Daramid. And then Amaranth heard some noise. Rushed back to the room that you had been in previously to find a hulking mass of stitched flesh figure climbing out of out of the building through a broken window. You have kind of given a bit of a pursuit. Lunamote and Amaranth are both outside the building, having smashed through a window to chase after this creature. And where we left off, it was the top of Amaranth's turn, because we are still in combat order. And Amaranth had just noticed that This creature could have easily pummeled her into the wall with both hands and probably would have completely killed her on the spot, if not for the fact that it was holding a small green statuette. Amaranth, it's your turn. What are you going to do?
Run after the creature and hope it doesn't put the statuette down.
I choose to run. Okay, so you run kind of 20 feet forward. You're running out into this kind of open area. You see the beast quite clearly ahead of you. Like literally, he's like hunched over. I don't know if you remember, like he's hunched over and easily would be like 10 to 12 feet tall standing upright. Like this is a huge, bulky creature, full of muscle and sinew and stitched flesh.
Gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's your movement.
I'm armed with my greatsword, so I'm not gonna provoke any further attack. I just want to see where he goes.
Okay. That will then bring us to Avena, who all you can see is your friends have dived out of a window.
Yes, and I don't actually haven't actually seen the creature in question.
No, it moved out of the way before you got into the room, I believe.
Yes. Now, which was the window that had been broken?
So the window is the one on the far right.
Right, okay.
I mean, far right to us, far left to Avena, obviously, directions and all that. The westerlymost window, easterlymost window. I can do directions. I'm sorry.
Okay, gonna run to the window. There we go. Can I see? Still can't see it.
Nope.
Okay. Right.
It I'm is not there.
Gingerly climb out of the window, avoiding presumably the bits of glass that are still in different places.
Yep.
And move down next to Lunamote. Oh, yep. And I see a vague flash of a...
You can kind of see it through the broken window through the room. There is a window on the opposite side of the room, and you can kind of just make it out through that. You
would
can only see like a
line of sight.
Yes, technically, but it also would have it would have hard cover from you.
That's fine. It is a little bit out of range for some of my usual tricks, so. Definitely. You know what? It worked so well last time. I'm gonna break out my radii measuring.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember how to find the option for that. And I'm going to cast web.
Okay. So web targeting where?
I want him in. It's a 20-foot radius, I think.
Believe yes, it is. That is a real good question, is that, isn't it?
Yes, 20-foot radius.
Yeah, it's quite a big one, isn't it?
Uh-huh, and I'm within range, so I basically want to smack him as close to the centre of the circle as possible.
Okay, so you want him as close to the centre, a 20-foot radius circle.
I would pre-measure it myself, I just don't remember how to... Oh!
20-foot would be that.
Template.
I'm guessing you'd probably want it like there.
Yes.
Cool. There is web. So first, I want to say I have to do some kind of roll, don't I?
I believe you do.
If you want to cast the spell and pop it in the chat for me, that'll be lovely.
It's a reflex save.
Must make a reflex save, yes. So, saves, reflex. It's a 16?
No.
Damn it. Okay.
It is grappled.
It is grappled. Very nice. Grappled. So grappled is a -4 penalty to dex, -2 penalty to attack rolls and CMB, except to grapple or escape it.
There we go. Hopefully that'll slow it down a bit.
And I don't get any benefits from it. Anyway. Okay, so he is. So he can choose to try and escape on his turn with a combat maneuver check or an escape artist check. Okay.
Indeed, against the original DC of the spell.
Indeed. Okay, so that then brings us to Kendra, who is doing her own stuff.
Looking after Emily. The professor, hopefully.
Alrighty. So I'm going to hop through the broken window.
Was yours broken as well?
You shot through it.
Yes, you shot through it. So yours is actually broken. I forgot about that. Yes, of course it's broken. It's Emlyn and you have a gun.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm going to skedaddle a little bit closer to this thing to have a little bit of a better look. still hideous, wonderful.
Hey! He's got a wonderful, like single lock of hair that's like almost, it's almost like an emo fringe. Look at it.
Aww, honestly, the way it looked in the token, I kind of thought he was going for like a whole like undercut thing.
I thought that was a tentacle, yeah. I'm not gonna lie.
That was a tentacle.
I thought the undercut as well.
Yeah.
Hey, I still can't see him, all right?
You just have to believe
it. There's tentacles everywhere.
Oh, yeah, you actually can't. Oh, bless you. You and your little halfling eyes.
Well, he's not very handsome. You're not missing anything.
Can I see that he's holding anything?
Not anymore, because he's now encased in web. So he's got not quite total concealment, because there is less than 20 feet between you and him. But
also, if he's as tall as you say, wouldn't he stick out the top of it quite significantly?
Well, no, 20 foot radius is a sphere.
Oh.
So it goes up to like the top of this tree on the right. It's like clinging all the way to the top of this like 15 foot tree and everything. Like it's web everywhere. Great.
I must confess, I always imagined it in a 2D plane rather than 3D.
No. This might surprise you, but the real world is 3D.
Disgusting.
No.
I don't want to rock anyone's understanding of the universe right now. But
no, that's just
even in Galarian,
that's just what they want you to believe.
Even in Galarian, they have the dimension of depth.
You learn something new every day.
Is that what the D stands for?
The D stands for dimension.
Okay.
Because it's three dimensions.
Mm. Yeah, that. You know what? I think I knew that.
But I loved the sense of wonder in your voice.
Yeah, it was a beautiful childlike wonder moment. I adored it. Emlyn, then what you gonna do?
I'm gonna shoot it, or at least I'm gonna try to. How many minuses am I getting for shooting through this web?
So there is a concealment effect. So there is a 20% chance.
Oh. Great, cool. I'm still going to try.
Oh, no, it's not concealment. It's cover, sorry. I apologize. I've just reread the details of the spell. It's not concealment, it's cover. So it just gets an increase to its AC.
Okay, well, that's shit. That's 12 against touch AC.
Yeah, that'll hurt.
Oh, will it?
Yeah, even with the cover. Yeah, well.
Just, it's worth bearing in mind, it's grappled, so it has -4 to dex, which means its armor class is naturally going to be lower anyway. Oh, and I think the cover will only give it +2
Okay.
Cover, yes, I believe is +2. But even if it was total cover, even if it was hard cover, it would yeah, no.
Okay, cool. It's 10 damage.
Okay.
Get it.
Trying.
10 damage.
Did we establish if this thing had some kind of damage resistance last time, or had we not divined its true nature?
You have not been able to define its true nature.
Okay.
I also, to be honest, do not know if... let me actually have a quick look and see if I can... It's one of those. So it would be... Avena's the only person who could try to identify it. I want to say that you did try and you weren't able to.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Wow, harsh.
No, as in I remember that happening. I wasn't being shady.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Avena don't know shit.
I have
off days. I think you rolled like super good and you still couldn't get it. Like,
yes.
This is what happens. You turn up at a university and Emlyn suddenly gets up on their high horse and is all like, oh, yeah, of course you don't know anything, Avena. Ah, this is my turf, bitch. Sorry, I'm just projecting now. Do continue. that was a hit. So that then brings us to, so don't forget, obviously, you'll need to reload next turn.
Yeah, yeah.
The beast itself is going to, what does it want to do? It's going to try and escape. It's going to try and escape with a little bit of a CMB check. It manages to escape.
No.
I mean, it rolled a 35, so...
No!
I feel like that might just beat your spell DC, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Although when it moves through, it has to make another reflex save.
No, it makes a combat maneuver or a escape artist check as part of the move with a DC equal to the spell's DC. So it's not a reflex save if it tries to move, it's a combat maneuver check.
Oh, yes. Oh, boo. Okay.
So that's its standard action anyway, so to escape. So it can't do much else.
Apart from just try to move. The web's also count as difficult terrain. Okay, it's going to try and move. It's going to try and move because it's not silly. That is a 36. Oof. So it definitely makes that. That's
what
fine.
Is this that it can roll so high?
A bitch.
I believe it's the rare creature known as DM's pet.
And we're going to put him there.
Ah.
Oh, okay. No. Go the other way. Run away.
Not the direction I was expecting.
That's all that it can do, because that's half its movement, because it's difficult terrain. So that brings us to Lunamote.
Can I choose to not play this anymore?
Can I choose to quit?
Okay, no. What I'm going to do, though, is I am going to... Actually, how far is that? Oh, perfect. I'm going... It's a full round action. Crud balls. Okay, yeah. I'm going to yell out, keep it here, and then start casting Summon Monster 2.
Ooh, okay.
With a
okay,
focus
so you...
being, like, right in front of the fucker.
Well, we'll decide the focus when you, assuming you're able to complete the casting at the beginning of your next turn.
Yep.
That brings us to the top of the round, Amaranth. And before we go to Amaranth's turn, someone needs to start throwing things at me because we've forgotten again that this is a special episode.
Oh yeah.
Someone needs to throw things at me.
We talked about this before the episode as well. How did you forget?
I know we did. I know. What do you mean, how did I forget? None of you reminded me.
I did. Not my job.
During the episode, you didn't sit there and go, oh, Ness, before we do that, maybe we should talk about that. No.
You're
you
the DM, it's your job.
Down to me.
Right,
so yeah, sure guilty.
It is obviously, once again, Alice's birthday episode. So you have an extra edge that, as we discussed last time, is now not expiring. It will just happen. You just have it now.
Thank you.
I'm terrible at giving them out because I also didn't give one out at the beginning of this episode as originally planned. Ha ha ha, I'm awful. So, yes, you have an extra edge. I'm going to get better at giving them out, I promise, but please take your turn now.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
So happy birthday to Alice.
Thank you. Having heard what Luna said, I'm going to step forward 5 feet. And it's not moving me, Chris, help.
1 second. Okay, so you step forwards.
Brilliant. And now I'm going to do the only thing that I'm good at and stab using a power attack.
Oh, I should probably check. Yeah, no.
That's a 24 to hit.
You are going to hate this sentence a little bit.
Don't you fucking
That care. Just hits.
What?
Okay. That's a just. Chris, this is
because
unreasonable.
Its AC is exactly 24.
Oh, that's disgusting.
This is unreasonable. How dare you?
But you'll wish I'd done now.
18 points of slashing damage.
Ooh.
Okay, 18 Ooh. Points Spicy. Of slashing damage.
What the fuck, Chris?
Its health bar hasn't moved?
It switched.
The health bar has not moved.
You can see that it does not seem to do as much damage as you would have.
Oh, fuck off.
I'm on my way. I'm on my way.
Okay.
Which is why I took an aerial weapon. I'm on my way.
Avena.
Right. I do not like. Well, let me just think. He has. If memory serves, for a creature of his size, it has to only touch at least one corner to be in range of him.
As long as you can hit a square that it's in, yes.
Yep, cool, that's fine. Let's see if this works. This will be the true test of its nature. I would like to call upon some arcane powers residing within me and gaze balefully at the creature and attempt to evil eye it, please.
You want to attempt to evil eye it?
Yes.
Okay, I just need to check some stuff.
And we're back to encountering undead, which means it's immune.
Well, this is the test. This is the a litmus test. It'll give us some idea of if it fails of what it is. Hopefully,
I mean, is it undead? Because I don't think I haven't been applying my favored enemy bonus because you can't identify it.
It does not it is not undead. Otherwise, you would be able to do a knowledge check on it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know. Thanks, Chris.
I am going to ask Avena to, and I normally wouldn't allow this, but I'm feeling generous today.
That makes me nervous.
give me another Knowledge Arcana.
Okay. 13.
Okay. While you are not able to identify what this creature is, you are able to identify the type of creature that it is.
Okay.
And this is why this is very odd to you, because you are 90% sure this creature is a construct.
What?
Right.
But the really strange thing is, unlike a normal construct, I'm going to make a will save because it seems that it might be affected by mind-affecting things.
Ooh.
Huh. Maybe because it's an organic construct?
And I rolled terribly, so I rolled an 11, which means that it is affected by your evil eye for how many bloody rounds? Is it like 8 now?
It is 3 plus my intelligence modifier, so that would be 8 still, yes.
Okay. And no. It was the saving throws one, wasn't it?
Yes.
There we are. Tis applied. That's going to really cripple me. Vina, that's what I'm hoping.
It is, and then I'm going to shimmy over to the west, because I haven't moved yet, and kind of just get it. So it's still very much within my sight line, but just spacing out so it doesn't do anything horrific, like chuck stuff at us.
Okie doke. Kendra does some stuff. Emlyn?
I'm going to take a 5-foot step backwards away from this thing, because, no. I'm going to reload my gun as I do so.
Yep.
And then I'm going to
shooty bang bang?
Yeah. Shooty shooty
bang
bang.
Okey-doke.
Shooty bang bang. Shooty bang bang. And we're fucking going to dead seconds ahead of well. Me. Make it a spicy one. That's a 14 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
Okay, that's 12 damage.
Okay, 12 points of damage.
Again, you've not applied the damage, Chris. The health bar hasn't moved.
I actually have. And it seems that was more impactful than Amaranth's was.
Yeah, classic.
So I think we can assume the health bar is in the triple digits.
Who only knows? Its turn. And
Brace.
The question is it just going to try and punch you, or is it going to pull out a weapon?
It's got weapons.
Oh, no.
I need to check what the
I mean,
it's
given it's
it can't use a weapon because the weapon is two-handed, so it's just going to punch you.
Given its size, you could argue that any part of its body is a natural weapon.
Oh yeah. No, its natural weapon is literally just called slam. Because it just hits. Weapons.
Its arm is a fucking tree trunk, Chris. I think whatever happens, it doesn't matter.
It could just sit on Amaranth and that would be bad.
So it is going to take a full attack action with power attack.
Nice.
Oh god.
Against Amaranth.
It's been real fun, guys.
Don't forget you've got the puppet.
The first attack.
There's multiple.
It's a 9 on the die.
But
For a total of 26.
I mean, yeah
that's actually obviously. Like a plus a million.
Classic. I forgot about this.
And that is quite a bit of damage.
Have we just murdered Amaranth?
It is. So it's 17 points of bludgeoning damage.
Plus.
And 3 points of electricity.
Okay, electricity?
Can you just apply it, please? Oh, wait, my
popper. So that is a total of 20 points of damage, which would put you at -6.
Okay. My popper, when the afflicted creature drops to 0 hit points, they're instantly returned to 1.
You are indeed. The poppet. So the creature swings a fist, drops you to the ground. As you hit the ground, this poppet rolls out. Even though you had it tied, like, secure, kind of rolls out onto the ground next to you. The nail that is buried through the heart of this poppet splits in two, and there is the gold thread that was wrapped around it burns into a bright silver ash.
Oh.
And you are pulled back to life at 1 hit point. You are, however, prone on the ground, just so you are aware. And
Someone
that was its first attack.
Oh, holy shit.
Oh, for God's sake.
The second attack,
which hopefully has a penalty because it's a second attack,
is a natural one.
Oh, God.
So it is a miss. You live to see another day, Amaranth. We are moving to Luna mode. You are up. It is the top of your round. You finish casting Summon Monster, and I would like to do
1d3 from the Summon Monster 1 list this time.
Okay. Let me just pull up a couple of little things. So we need the spell list. We need that one. We need... Oh, I should have been more prepared for these things, but I'm not because I'm terrible.
I mean, I've got them in front of me.
Five, six, seven, eight. Give me a roll on a 1d8, please.
Okie dokie.
Because just as a reminder, you've decided you're doing these as random summons, that you get whatever creature the die decides.
Four.
A four is a one, two, three. Okay. And now you're going to need to give me a 1d3 as well.
Okie dokie. One. Great. That was a waste.
So you get one Celestial Eagle.
Cool.
Which I'm currently just waiting for the compendium to load. So yeah.
That's fine. What I'm also going to do is I'm also going to run so the white spectral strands stream out from my hand, and it is going to make the eagle appear right in front of it at like a diagonal from Amaranth.
I was essentially on the left hand side, the top square.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's going to appear there. And then I, because that's the top of my round, I can still do a spell, can't I? Because that's finishing.
Yes. You can still cast. Because that finishes at the beginning of your turn. So you still have standard action, movement action, swift actions, all
wonderful.
Of that.
Wonderful. So I'm going to run really quickly towards Amaranth.
Okie doke.
I'm going to slap an inflict light wounds on the back. Well, on the ass as I run past.
Thanks.
Okie doke.
Which heals something. Is it going to heal?
It's 10.
Okay, so how much was the healing again?
I come through, run up, slap Amaranth on the ass, and heal 6 points of damage.
Yes, could you apply that for me, please?
Very nice.
And that is a very healthy feeling ass. Thank you, Luna.
Shame the rest of you is not quite feeling that healthy yet. You're still in the red.
Yeah, I'm still in the red, but like my ass feels great. Thank you.
Can you clench your greatsword between your cheeks and use that to strike with?
Could you imagine?
I think that would be more disturbing than what we're fighting.
Okay, so yeah. Lunamote.
I think that's everything I can do, actually.
It is. Just for reference, because this is going to be important, it's worth knowing now, I have ruled that you cast the spell before you moved and then you just touched Amaranth when you got to Amaranth.
Okay.
Just because where you are now currently, you are actually in a threatened square. Because this creature has range.
You know what? Well, I'm glad to know that it can hit those Ariana Grande high notes.
It does indeed have the octave range.
Let's hope we can stop it from keeping breathing and breathing.
At the end of the round...
Please tell me it leaves, Chris.
You hear sounds. All of
what?
You.
Okay.
Of footsteps. Coming from pretty much all directions, and you hear voices in the distance. Halt! Halt there! Who goes? What's going on?
The feds have shown up.
Hang on, I can go kill something else.
Oh no, it's time for pigs.
It's probably going to be another round before they get to you. So, Amaranth.
I do nothing.
I lay there like a bug.
Oh my god, run away.
I can't. It'll get an attack of opportunity.
Yeah, no, it's true. If standing from prone would give it an attack of opportunity.
Ugh.
I'm just going to lay there and take it.
Can you just lie on the floor and like, stab upwards?
Sorry, what?
Sorry, David?
Sorry, I was going to say, can you just like lie on the ground and just like stab upwards?
I'm not dying now, thank you. I'm just going to stay still.
Were you about to say, I'm not dying for you?
Yeah, not for that.
Just to point out, I think we forgot that the eagle gets to go.
Oh, that is very true. Good thing we hadn't moved on that much. What's the eagle doing?
A kill, and I just pointed the thing.
Okay, so it's going to take an attack. I mean, it's right next to it, so you can do a full attack action with its talons, I think, is probably the best option. I'll be honest, this is very unlikely to hit, though.
Go for the eyes. Go for the eyes.
First one's an 11, which is a miss. Second one is a 19, also a miss, unfortunately.
Okay.
But it is there, it is trying, and it is threatening the creature, so therefore things could happen. So Amaranth, what are you doing anything with your turn?
No. Like, fuck. I want to survive this combat.
Just this combat, so I can kill you in the next one. Cool, good to know.
Yeah,
to know.
When I'm more prepared, thank you.
Okay. Avena, then.
Okay. I'm going to... my gaze hasn't left this thing. Not that it really could. And I'm going to sort of lock eyes onto it again, feel a surging of arcane energy as I attempt to hex it, but with a lesser used hex. I'm going to use misfortune, please.
Okie dokie. Okay, another will save, exactly 17.
Oh, that's a pass, isn't it?
What is the DC 17?
Yes.
Yeah, then yeah, it passes, unfortunately.
Okay, fine. In that case...
Oh, I've just realised I could have re-rolled the last will save that it failed as well. What a shame. Moving on.
Oh, well. And then something odd comes over Avena. It seems kind of... It starts small at first, but sort of bubbles up her throat. As she starts cackling... rather oddly, there's almost like a reverb or an echo to it.
Okay.
Which I really do as a move action.
Okie doke. It is indeed. Cackle is a move action which extends the hex by another.
Cool.
Would have worked better if misfortune had gone off, but oh well.
Okay. That brings us to Kendra, who's doing some shit. Emlyn.
What the fuck is Kendra doing?
Well, none of you can see her. You don't know.
She's very... in a liminal state until we can observe her. Then the waveform collapses and we know what she's doing.
Yes, exactly. She is Schrodinger's Kendra. That was a very nerdy joke. I'm glad David set me up for that.
I got you, Boo.
Okay, so I can see Amaranth looking real very hurt on the floor.
Yes.
So,
real very hurt, in fact. Yes, you're
very,
right.
Very
real hurt. Very hurt, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, careful, that looks like a threatened spell.
Yeah, okay. So I'm going to move down this way.
So you're kind of running along. You're kind of running around all of the stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going down to the bottom, and I am going to start shouting at this thing to try and get its attention this way.
Okay, kind of like a distraction.
Yeah, I want it moving away from Amaranth, essentially.
Okay, that's...
Should you roll that like a demoralized check?
Well, I'm thinking, which is always dangerous to think, and I'm thinking...
He's going off book!
I'm thinking that you can either do it as an intimidation check, or I would allow you to do it as a diplomacy.
We'll go for an intimidate because I've actually got a modifier for that. I'm essentially going to just start heckling it.
Okay.
That's a 21.
Okay. Let me just double check what the DC for that would be. I need to count.
And this is where my save tax hopefully comes in clutch.
No, it's not a saving throw. It's just a DC based on its stats. Okay, we'll see what happens. I mean, we will see what happens because it's now the creature's turn.
Oh no!
Yeah.
So it can hear you heckling at it. It can hear all these clamoring voices that are heading towards, and kind of the sound of like feet running towards and. Like armor and weapons being drawn and all of this from around. And it's going to make a will save.
A will save?
It's frightened. He doesn't like people.
And I'm going to use improved iron will to re-roll that.
So shall anxiety be like?
And it is going to drop the statuette, take a 5-foot step this way.
That's brushing the edge of the webs. Does it need to make another combat maneuver or a stay artist check?
I mean, to be fair, the combat maneuver, a peek behind the curtain, the combat maneuver bonus is plus 23.
Okay, yeah, no, that's...
So it's unless, even with a natural one, it would be a 24, so it would pass.
Okay, fine.
Wait, hang on. Do I not get an attack of opportunity since it's moving out of my...
And it's also you're not in its threat. It's not in your threatened range. You were in its threatened range.
You know, this isn't fair.
The eagle would be... If it hadn't gone 5 foot, the eagle could have had an attack.
Yeah, the eagle and Amaranth could have done if it was... if it hadn't done a 5-foot step. But yeah, so you're going to 5-foot step. It's dropped the statuette and it is going to hold its hands in the air.
Like it just don't
and
care?
And it looks genuinely confused.
Does it look like it's surrendering?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Luna, mate.
Okay, so if it's taken a 5-foot step back and it looks like it's surrendering, then I'm going to cast another Inflict Light Wounds on Amaranth.
Okay, look.
And can I use like my movement to help Amaranth get up?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Thank you.
So that's 10 points of healing, and
ooh,
I help Amaranth get up.
Okay, you help Amaranth stand. Amaranth is no longer prone.
Thank you very much.
And I'm just going to glower at this thing.
I feel like you're all learning Avena's glares, just maybe not without the magical component.
Well, yeah, because we don't physically see what they do.
okay, yes, so use that. So at the end of the round, literally about 20 or 30 armoured, like they look like guards, rush the area. Some of them are wielding short swords, some of them will be wielding pikes, and they push past Emlyn and Avena. A group of like three or four of them drag Lunamote and Amaranth away from the creature, and they surround this creature.
Oh, okay.
They surround it. It looks panicked. It looks like genuinely quite freaked. There are moments where it looks as though it's about to lash out, but it tries to like almost think better of it. They are kind of pushing all of you away from the scene, and they don't really notice what direction they're pushing you, so you could quite easily go back through the windows you'd broken if you wish, or you can go elsewhere, but they are definitely going, they are forcing you away from the scene.
What's their reaction to it look like? Are they shocked? Are they horrified? Are they more like, oh, this again?
This looks... give me a sense motive, actually.
Okay, I can do that. It's a 7.
No idea. They look determined, that's all you can get.
Is the statuette still on the floor?
Hard to see now you've been pulled away. There's so much commotion around the creature, you can't really get an eye line on what if it's there or not.
I suppose as I'm pulled away, I'll dismiss the web.
That's fair. Because they are kind of only on like two sides of the creature at the moment, but as soon as you drop the web, they close around it.
Can I attempt to do psychic reading on this thing?
Ooh, what's that?
So, let me remember what that does.
I've just put in the chat.
Yes. Okay, you are able
it
to read
say it. It does say a humanoid creature, though. So
unfortunately, this creature does not count as a humanoid creature. It is not humanoid. It is construct.
Okay, I was just judging by the seeming sentience we're getting.
It's human-shaped.
No, unfortunately, humanoid is a specific type of creature. Okay. This one does not count.
Okay, that's fine. Then can I attempt it on one of the guards?
Ooh.
You can. Okay. You're able to read a person's surface thoughts and take cues from the person's appearance, body language, and manner of speech to infer a great detail of information about the person, even if that person is in disguise. Okay, so make a DC 20 sense motive check with a bonus equal to your cast level, which is 4? No, you don't have a cast level, so you get no bonus.
Okay, cool.
It's just a DC 20 sense motive. This is a spell like ability, isn't it?
Yeah.
Then it's just equal to your total hit dice, so plus 4. So it'd be sense motive, situational bonus, plus 4.
Okay.
Oh,
what do we get?
That's a natural 20 for a 30.
Huge.
Damn!
I want to know this guy's every thought.
Damn! So, a successful skill check reveals to you one of the following pieces of information of your choice, plus one additional piece of information for every 5 points by which your check exceeds 20. So, by normal rules, you would get 3 pieces of information. Because of it being a nat 20, I will give you 5 pieces of information.
Okay, cool. All right.
So, the choices you can have. Age, alignment, class, feats, gender, native language, place of origin, race or ethnicity, racial traits, religion, sexual orientation, training in craft, perform, or profession skills. Or you can try and argue me another piece of information and I'll decide whether or not you can glean that.
Okay, well, you've got to find out what part of the rainbow they're in.
Yeah.
Okay.
You may not want the answer to that question from some of these guards.
Okay.
All right. Zoo files, every single one.
Ugh, gross. All right.
apart from 3 that are actually just furries.
Gross. Anyway, I would like to know this place of origin.
Leopardstadt.
Okay, cool. Native, that's fine. Religion.
A follower of Erastil, but was raised Phrasman.
Okay, cool. I would like to finagle, please, if that's all right.
What would you like to finagle?
I'm trying to think of how best to phrase this. Like, clearly their intention is to capture this thing.
Okay.
I mean, there's definitely a difference between, like, are they going to kill it, subdue it, or capture it?
Hmm.
So you kind of want to get a read on their intention.
Yeah. And like a why, if possible.
There is a combination feeling of kind of a mixture of vengeance and justice.
Ooh. Okay.
Implies familiarity.
Okay.
Alignment might be a good idea.
Yeah, I want to know if this guy is secretly evil. Yeah, what's his alignment?
Lawful neutral.
All right. Well, rude.
And that's one piece of information left.
I can already kind of see his profession.
Are you sure? Maybe he's secretly a potter or a weaver.
Okay.
And he just moonlights as a guard. He's actually just LARPing right now. Like he's actually just he's a bookmaker. He got bored. He was like, you know what? I'm just going to dress up and see if they notice.
Oh, I assumed it was more like the university's like LARPing society.
It's like, we'll deal with the monster.
What kind of uniform are they wearing?
So they are wearing it's quite plain. Like there are only two people who are wearing like full breastplates. That the rest are wearing either chain or leather armor. They do all seem to have the same kind of colorations that you would recognize as being of the city of Leopardstadt rather than of the university.
Okay, fair.
There's no like emblems or markings.
This is like legit guards.
Yeah, this seems to be the local guard force.
In the description it says I'm able to read the person's surface thoughts.
Yes, you can.
What's he thinking right now?
So actually for this one, because there is also a 70% chance the information you received
is
correct.
I hope you hadn't read that bit.
Of course I've read that bit. I it's up to you whether or not you believe the other information I've given you, but for this one specifically, I am going to roll.
Okay.
The surface thoughts that you can read are, I'm glad this is finally over.
Ooh. Okay. All right.
Okay. Cool. So, yes, you're being kind of all pushed away a little bit. Emlyn, quiet for a moment, focusing as being directed away. Where do you go?
Back to Kendra.
Yeah.
As you're kind of like regrouping, so to speak, and coming back together, you actually notice that coming up from maybe 10, 20 feet behind behind the guards themselves, Kendra herself has been kind of standing a little bit further away, watching what's been going on. And you kind of immediately kind of pull together. She had gone to get to rouse the guard.
Okay.
Oh, cool. One sec.
Just as a quick question, how's Amaranth looking?
Injured. but not on death's doors.
Okay, I'm going to do another ass slap.
You slapping her ass.
Can't help it. It's just, you know, all that fighting and like wielding of the greatsword. Good ass.
I'm just like, ass. It's also like probably more level with you than exactly. any other part of my body.
So that's another 6 points of healing.
Thanks, like a high five nice. To the ass.
Yeah. I just kind of like, you know, Amrap kind of bends down and grabs you on the shoulder and is like, I really appreciate all the healing. I'm so lucky to have you here. Thank you.
And Lunamote sort of like freezes a second and is like, you're more than welcome. And like, you see like a little bit of blush, just a touch.
Wait, what? No, this is what I was going for.
Not used to like...
Flirting.
No, I wasn't flirting.
I'm not flirting. It's just someone being nice.
Oh, okay. Mm.
That sounds like flirting in my book.
Yeah.
For God's sake.
I ship it, I'm just saying.
Wait until I actually try and flirt with someone and then you'll see what flirting is.
Oh, that's a promise I hope you keep.
She's feeling spicy.
But yeah, no, so like I say, yeah, you see Kendra is off a little step away, kind of watching everything. There is a look of resolute but panicked tension about her.
Oh.
I mean, I think that's fair.
And she doesn't seem to be looking at any of you. She's just looking at where the guards are and what's happening there.
What are they doing, the guards?
And they are. There are three or four of them that are trying, not with the greatest success, but they are trying to rope the creature's arms behind its back.
These are some ballsy guards, I've got to say.
There's like three on each arm trying to pull them back. Like they've got ropes around the wrists, and there's like three of them on each arm trying to pull them into position to tie them together. Like it's very much a team effort. And there's like four on each corner that are like kind of keeping him in position with like pikes towards the shoulder and neck area to make sure that if he moves that they can, that they've kind of got him penned in. Like it's coordinated, but they are very much kind of improvising the coordination.
Oh, good for them. That's really trying.
Lunamote will start making her way over to Kendra. And when she gets up there, just sort of, do you recognize this thing, miss?
No. No, I've never seen anything like this before. Sorry. Oh, this was very unexpected.
Does Kendra look okay? Does she just look shaken, or does she look like she's been physically hurt at all?
Give me a perception check.
23?
There's no physical wounds or damage or anything that you can see. She does just look a little white around the face, a little shaken, but not physically hurt at all.
Okay, cool. I'm going to reach out and very gently, like, on the hand, just cast Virtue as, like, aww, a way to sort of bolster her.
You do see some of the colour kind of return to her face a little.
Cool.
And she looks down and gives kind of a half smile. Thank you. I wasn't quite expecting to be affected like this.
Lunamo has no idea what to say, so just sort of, like, nods and, like, then takes a step behind Kendra looking at the rest of the group.
I'm assuming have the rest of you kind of been heading over the same way, or are you going elsewhere?
I'm peeling off for a quick second, hopefully before the guards notice. I'm just going to wander over to where those windows were and cast Mending.
Okay, I mean, Mending is like a casting time of a minute, isn't it?
That's fine. Oh, it's instantaneous.
Very nice. Yeah. Oh, okay, I'm clearly making things up. One object up to 4 pounds. Yeah, I mean, you would be there for a little while.
That's fine. I just don't want the guards to be pissed at us.
Oh, the casting time is 10 minutes. That's what it is. The duration is instantaneous, but the casting time is 10 minutes. So you can do 4 pounds per 10 minutes. So you would probably, in order to repair both of the windows, well, actually, technically, there are three broken windows, but there's only two that you guys broke. You would probably be there for a good, like, half hour to an hour minimum.
I will stick to the one that got fully smashed in that.
Sorry.
Okay. So you're doing that. Okay. So, but Amaranth and Emlyn are with Kendra and Lunamote, are they? Or are they elsewhere as well?
Yeah, sure. They were Kendra.
Yeah.
She seems aware of your presence, but she is fixated on the creature, and there is just a... There is a strange look in her eye about it. There is almost like an unspoken thought lingering there.
Could Could I do a sense motive?
You can. What are you trying to ascertain?
Recognition, like if she's
okay,
seen or heard of this creature.
Like, okay, yeah, give me a sense motive.
That is a 10.
Doesn't seem to be any kind of recognition. That doesn't seem to be the look that's on her face, but it's kind of hard to read. Are you all okay? Are you all well?
Skirted by death a little tighter than I usually prefer, but still here, so as well as can be.
You do see her, not quite flinch, but you do see her react a little when you mention death.
Well, I'm glad you are all still here. It would be a very tragic end to
anywhere.
No. I think I need to be, and I hope you don't take this in any way personally. I have been utterly grateful for all of your support over this past month and what you have done for myself and for my father. But every time I think about the lives that you each lead and how dangerous they are, I can't help but think of father and how terrified he must have been. And I don't want to live like that. I think I need some time away to recover. I don't think I quite recognized how dangerous the world can be until tonight.
For that to see, it's not easy.
Don't be you. You've clearly protected me from a lot more than I care to know about. But this is, and she looks back at the creature, and this is too much for me and my temperament. I think I shall spend a few days sorting my affairs in the city and then travel to Caliphas for a time.
I don't know Caliphas, but someone who travel with you for protection.
And at this, you do see Lunamote sort of take a deep breath and then step forward and go, actually, I have already offered to do this. And she takes a deep breath and then, like, you see sort of like she sets her shoulders and she stands proudly for a second. She goes, I'm going to take up my role as keeper with Kendra. My family have done it for generations and it's my turn now. I'm going to be going with Kendra to Caliphas and not with you three. And she sort of pauses a second to look at the three of you waiting for your reactions.
Permanently?
Sorry?
Permanent? You're going to be... You're not going to... The whole service for the rest of your life?
Well, it's my name. Lunamote Keeper, it's what we do. And, well, as much as I have enjoyed fighting with you guys and finding all of this, these gifts that I have are there for a reason. And I've managed to escape death several times now. And to me, it just seems that by trying to find another route, what I am meant for, I keep almost dying. So...
And you think the reason for your gift is to serve Kendra for the rest of your life? You think Lorimore sent you into the Shudder Woods? I mean, a feat that would have killed most people. You think he picked you and sent you thinking you'd die?
I'm going to pop a hand on Amaranth's shoulders.
To turn around and...
Hey.
I don't know why he sent me there, but I am so glad to have met you all. But I don't know why I have these gifts that I have, and maybe with Kendra I can find out more. She's a font of knowledge on this, but I have to do what I've been raised to do. I'm sorry. And Lunamote does sort of, like, look down at the ground, a little bit crestfallen.
Avena hasn't said anything yet, but doesn't look surprised. I heard your earlier conversation. I knew this was... I'd heard you were discussing it. Not intentionally. I was just close by. And, anyway. I'll be... You know, it'll be sad to not have you with us, but if that's where you feel you need to go, then that's where you need to go. Right to dictate what you want to do with your life. And hell, if you're going to Caliphas, it means I probably will see you again someday. That's where my family is. So
Exactly. It's not that I'm never going to see any of you again. Just that I have a role I have to fulfill.
And then Amaranth walks away into the universe.
I mean...
Where's the door? I can't see the door on this.
There are no doors. You jumped out of a window, remember?
Yeah, I wonder if it's just been mended.
I mean, you're in the grounds. There are lots of places you can wander off to dramatically. You don't need to put it on the map.
I just dramatically leave.
Okay. I mean...
And Lunamo is, like, you can see, like, really saddened that Amaranth is reacting this way. I'm sorry. And she looks at Emlyn and Avena.
I mean, you don't have anything to apologize for, at least not by me. I'll admit the way it came out, or the timing may have been a little bit off.
That would be my fault. I apologize. I wasn't quite expecting to have been affected like this tonight, and I just can't wait any longer.
No. There's no fault to go around. This particular situation is just a misunderstanding. Like, Amaranth will come around in a moment, don't worry. We've been through too much for that to just, like, go away.
Can I ask you to something, though?
Sure.
I think Amaranth really needs to feel safe and with people that she trusts. Will you keep her well?
Yeah, of course.
We'll look after her, don't worry.
I'm on your left.
This is what you want to do.
She looks for a second at, like, this creature that everyone's struggling with, the guards and things like that, and then...
Oh yeah, they still have not managed to. they've got the wrists close together, but then every time they try to rope it, one of them moves. It's still a whole mess.
And then she sort of looks up at Kendra and then looks back and is just like, I think I've done what I needed to do back home. And a wise person recently told me that what we use our gifts for is the most important thing. And I'm not sure I've been using them for the right reasons. So it's time to do what I should be doing and maybe using my gifts in a different way. I'm sure.
Alright. As long as you're sure, then...
Okay, screw all this stilted shit. I'm just gonna kneel down and hug Lunamo.
Yeah, Lunamo hugs back.
and that was said by Avena. Like, screw all this. Like...
Right. Hang on a second. And Emlyn turns and runs after Amaranth.
Divide and conquer. Good strategy to help deal with this.
This is going to sound really strange, and I'm going to have to, like, kind of finagle it, but since Emlyn's just run off a second, can I, like, use one of my gifts for Avena a second and get, I don't know, just, like, a sense of, like, a answer for her or something?
How do you mean, sorry?
So, like, you know how I've got, like, because all my powers are to do with, like, seeing the future and being able to, like, get an idea of roughly what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Could I, like, finagle in a way, like, touch of destiny or something? Or, like, is the city just to, like, give Avena, like, a flash of something that's going to happen in the future?
You know what?
As, like, a goodbye gift?
Sure.
Oh, yay!
Do you have something in mind?
Because
if not, I have ideas.
No, I have nothing in mind because I've just thought of it now.
Okay, so at the moment...
I'm thinking, kind of, like, as we hug, because our powers kind of have that similarity. And I think it's actually, like, the first time other than with, like, a heel that we've touched, just as, like, as we're having a hug, like a spark of something to fly off and for her to see.
So you see, both of you, actually, this isn't intentional so much on Lunamote's part as just a reaction to the emotion of the moment and that natural innate gift that she has, that the both of you at the same time see a flashing scene of a busy, bustling street with people dressed in various different colors and styles and hues, and there is movement all around. There is noise. There are animals, horses and carts being wheeled through this wide
almost city street. And in the flurry of movement, there are two still figures. And each of you can see one of them because it looks like Avena and it looks like Lunamote, but somehow changed, somehow different, somehow older.
Oh.
And there is a moment where your eyes meet and the whole scene around you becomes perfectly still and you each smile and come rushing back to the present moment. And Avena would recognize the street that you were on as being in the market district of Caliphas in the height of summer.
Whoa. Well, I guess we'll see each other again.
Is that always what it feels like?
Worse most of the time.
Well, I don't know if that was intentional or not, but thank you for that. Yeah, it's good to know that we will see each other again. And I'll leave you with the details of where you can find my family.
I'd love to look them up. Yeah, I'll find all your baby pictures.
I mean, they have heard about you. Well, they will have heard about you by the time you get there, given how long if I sent the message off at the right time. But yes, I'm sure they'll be. Serena will be looking forward to meet you.
Make sure to write. I want to hear about what happens next to you.
Of course.
I should probably, and she sort of gestures to Kendra.
Oh yeah.
Go find Amaranth, see if she's okay. If she wants to see me, I think we'll be...
She'll come around, I think. I don't want to, I don't know, put words into her mouth or anything, but it feels like maybe she's not used to... There's only one kind of loss she's used to dealing with, and it's usually violent. So
yes.
It could be that it's hard not for it to feel like that, even though it's a one where nothing's going wrong. I think she'll come around.
Lunamote shrugs and is like, I hope so.
So while that's happening, Emlyn was going after Amaranth.
Yep.
What's happening there?
So what is Amaranth doing when I catch up to her?
Probably, I mean, there are trees in the courtyard, probably climbed up one of them and is just like sat in the branches.
I'm sad, so I go to a tree.
Yeah, off the fucking ground.
Hanging upside down like a bat, trying to connect to Bartholomew's inner angers.
I mean, just kind of like lying across the branch, to be honest.
And then's just gonna see Amaranth over in the branches and just stand leaning against the trunk underneath. Is that really how you want to end things with her?
I don't want it to end.
It's not.
Well, it is. And Lunamote deserves better than to go and be a servant. I don't care if it's in her last name. Hell, I don't even have one. How does that define your future?
So she doesn't deserve the right to choose.
It doesn't feel like a choice.
It is. Whether you disagree with it or not, it's a choice she's made.
She's only 20. She's got a whole life ahead of her, and she's going to go be a servant to Kendra, who's more than capable of doing their own thing. I mean, we saw how Kendra was in that university. What's to say that the second Kendra doesn't get to Caliphas, she's just going to turn around and not actually need Lunamote anymore? And then where will she be?
Then she can come back. It doesn't have to be permanent or forever. She might just go off and do this for a little bit and then come back. And even if she doesn't, then it definitely was the right choice for her.
There's no guarantee she'll even know what she wants to know. I would have gone with her anywhere to find out what she needed to know, you know?
Yeah.
She's my friend and I would have helped her, but I can't help her now.
Yeah, you can. You can still look for those answers for her. You can still look for information. And then if you think we've got something, we can go let her know.
I guess. I just didn't want it to leave like
that. Yeah, I get that. You'll regret leaving it like this.
You know I was never going to let this be. Too many of my friends have died. I didn't really get the chance to say goodbye.
Yeah.
I just
think of it less of a goodbye and more of a see you later.
If I didn't leave, I would have shouted at her and probably said some not so nice. So it was better to leave than, you know,
that's fair.
To make it worse. But you're right. Say goodbye properly and not be such a baby.
You're allowed to feel that way. You're allowed to feel hurt by it. But don't let that affect how you interact with others.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. And I kind of jump down from the tree.
Give her a shoulder bump. You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
No!
That is not just me.
Come on, guys, don't get upset.
Come on.
The end of an era.
We got a friend to go say goodbye to.
You're right. Do you think she'll need winter? To carry the belongings. I mean, Lunamo is small and mighty, but I think they might have too much to carry between Winter's steadfast, and I trust Winter to carry.
I think that might be a nice little goodbye present, maybe. Just sling an arm around her shoulder. You'll be all right.
I guess we head back to...
Yeah.
Okay, so the two of you are returning back to where Kendra, Avina, and Lunamo are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. You kind of say, well, by this time, I'm going to say the guards have more or less got him under control.
Okay.
It's taken some time. Finally. They're still figuring it out, but they've got the arms roped together and they're kind of very slowly starting to lead him away. Just so you know, there's not, I don't want it in anyone's head that you're having this really touching emotional, like, farewell scene, and in the background there are guards being thrown around.
I mean, that's in the first half of this one. So.
Yeah.
So you guys get back to where the others are.
I'm gonna lock eyes with Emlyn, and not particularly subtly, just kind of go like, suggest with the eyebrows, like maybe we'll just leave them, like let them have the time apart, and just like, you know. Just if we just maybe like just like step over there so they have a bit more air of privacy.
And this face is immediately like,
okay. I'll see Emlyn's reaction, and be like, okay, fine. I'm glad that we've managed to develop a decent nonverbal communication.
Yeah, this is like a lot of weird facial expressions.
Who needs message?
I walk over to Lunamo and just kind of hug them, but off the ground, like pick them up off the ground. It was kind of like a really crushing bear hug.
Yeah, and Lunamo does just return it. Doesn't say much. I don't think it needs to be said.
So I set you back on the ground.
Lunamo does like punch you in the leg and is like, you better hide.
My handwriting's shit. You know this. You've
I don't care.
Right, but if you can't read it, then you're going to have to go find someone who can.
Okay.
I you can always just dictate and I'll write it down if you want.
That might be better. We'll do that. So if you get a suspicious amount of letters from Avina, at least some of them will be from me.
Okay.
you're gonna take Winter with you.
Are you sure? You love that donkey.
He is a steadfast, strong donkey and he will be able to carry whatever you need him to.
She,
you're right. I'm sorry.
It was a purely non-male party we were having here.
Follemue's male.
He's an exception to the rule. He's an exception to the rule.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're sure, I mean, you might need Winter though.
I can carry my own packs.
Yeah, but can these two?
I can carry their packs if they cannot. But
we're sure all right.
We'll all be fine.
Come on, let's go to the pub, have a drink.
I'll meet you later.
If you need anything,
things I'd like to prepare before we depart.
Okay, I should not be too long.
Honestly, it's fine. Take your time. I'm perfectly safe in the university.
I will make a point of turning to Kendra and just like, will you be sticking around for a couple of days before you go, or is this like a leaving on the morrow kind of thing?
We will be here for a few days, but I fear it would be quite a busy schedule getting things set up for us to move to Caliphat.
No, that's fair. It's be good to do a less hasty goodbye, I suppose.
Yes. Well, I do just want to say to all of you, I hope you understand the importance and how grateful I am for all of your support and all of your help and the great many good things that you have done in the short time that I have known you. You are very good people. I'm grateful to have met you.
Avina just sort of all nods.
I was in my head, you all just look down at your feet like, oh, give me a suppose, I suppose.
Pretty much, yeah.
We're like, we're not that good, but okay. but yeah, she does then kind of depart, leave you.
Yeah,
Drake's she's got some things to make.
Oh.
Yes, indeed. I have thoughts and ideas and plans.
Yeah, I don't know.
Schemes.
I don't know about anyone else, but yeah, that drink sounds good right now.
Yeah.
And we will leave it there.
Yeah.
And for this week, as the four of you, for maybe the last time, go off together to get completely fucking shit-faced.
Absolutely. Perfect.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's the end of an era, guys. Yeah.
No more Lunamote.
That's so sad.
Sorry.
I was hoping
Roxy was
leaving. I suppose we should say goodbye to Roxy as well. Yeah. Really. I mean, we're more upset about Lunamote, but yeah. I suppose we should say something.
Nah, Chris realised how powerful the Summer Monster 2 was going to get and decided that was it.
Out. I'm out. Well, you saved me a massive job there. Thank you.
No worries.
Come back in a couple of weeks and you'll meet our new the new member of Role Plus Pod, Oxy.
No, see what you don't realise is that the whole time Winter is the new companion.
Yep. We decided to utilise my fantastic vocal skills in a series of hee-haws and
Oh, there is so much of me that actually would love to do that. But we will.
I've just sent Winter away. We're in the mode.
I smell a spin-off.
It was like you were joking this whole time that Bartholomew was really your father. Well, welcome, your father.
I'm here to suck your blood.
Can't wait for Roxy to roleplay my dad. That's gonna be fun.
Well, we will find out next week if anything will be happening and what new crazy random things will be coming your way. Indeed. But that was a nice place to end it. At the end of first character gone, guys.
And not through death.
And I really thought I was going to die.
We all lived.
You very, very nearly did. I know.
I was going to be like, that's going to fuck up Lunamote's leaving.
I had to make up for the last time I nearly one hit killed you. And then someone reminded me about concealment. This time I made sure it stuck.
To be fair, though, now, Alice, though, you're going to have to really get a load of potions because Lunamote's not going to be around to just slap that ass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe you're just going
to fucking die. We'll see.
No!
Our intro music is The Descent by Kevin MacLeod. Our outro music is Unpromised by Kevin MacLeod. Find more of his music by visiting incompetech.filmmusic.io. The other music in this episode was provided by Sirenscape, providers of epic sound effects, ambience, and background music for tabletop RPGs. Visit sirenscape.com for more information. The Pathfinder role-playing game and the Carrion Crown Adventure Path are owned by Paizo Inc. and are used under Paizo's community use policy. This podcast is not published, endorsed, or approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo and the Pathfinder role-playing game, visit paizo.com.